Today's daf is daf ches. We're holding on the last line of Zayin Amud Beit. We're in the middle of Ma'amorim of Rav Gidol Amarav, and so we continue. Om Rav Gidol Amarav. Minayin shenishba'im lekayim et ha-mitzvah. From where do we see that it is considered to be a good thing, a decent thing, to be nishba, to be mekayim a mitzvah? Shenemar nishbati v'akayima lishmur mishpatei tzidkecha. So here David HaMelech says that I did swear in order to be Mekayim your Mishpatim. Says, well, what is that supposed to mean? I mean, well, you're telling me it's a good thing, but it's not even considered to be a Shvuah. How can you make a Shvuah on something that you're already Mushbav Omed Mehar Sinai? Well, Mushbav Omed Mehar Sinai. I mean, did Rav Gidol Amarav actually mean that a Shvuah, this is a Schiddush, that a Shvuah can be Chal on a Dvar Mitzvah? Because it says Nishbati Vakaima? I mean, after all, do we not have a klal that when you're Mushba Va'omed Vahar Sinai, that you cannot make a Shvuah? The reason for this is because when the Torah discusses Shvuahs, it talks about Lehara or Lahativ. Lehara or Lahativ means it's up to you. You want to do the opposite, you want to do something good for yourself, bad for yourself. So by definition, a Shvuah is only said as regards to a Varashuth, something that's up to you to do. So how could Rav Gidol Amarav possibly be claiming that the meaning of this pasuk is that actually you can make a shvuah and it should be chal on something that you're mushba va'omid? Answers the Gemara. Of course, that's not what it means. All that he's saying is that, of course, that's not really going to be chal in terms of additional isurim that you're going to be over on lo yachel devaro and so on. But what he's coming to say is that there is an inyan, even though normally we try to avoid shvuas, as we'll see later on, nidrei ksherim, certainly by definition means things that a person would not do if he's an adam kosher to use a shvuah. But to say a shvuah, to make a personal commitment, even though it can't really add anything in terms of your chiyuv for violation, but to be mezareis yourself, that you took a personal commitment to go and do something is considered to be acceptable even within the terms of Anoshim Kisherim, who normally avoid Shavuos. V'yomer Rav Gidol Amarav, furthermore, said Rav Gidol Amarav, Ha'omer Ashkim V'ashaneh Perek Zot, somebody who gets up and says, I am going to wake up early and I'm going to finish this perek tomorrow morning, V'ashaneh Mesechet Zot. Neder Gadon Dadar L'Elohei Yisrael, he just made himself a very serious neder. Obviously, it doesn't mean literally a neder, because this is a shvuah. You can't make a neder to do something. You can only make a neder that something is asr on you. But as we've seen many times, that a neder is considered to be a lashon that covers the overall umbrella of inyonim that you do with your mouth. And this is one of many, many places where we call a shvuah a neder. And what he means is that this, indeed, is a serious shvuah that you have to take. As if you said the Elokei Yisrael, it's a serious shvuah that you said using God's name. So I think, well, what do you mean? It's the same problem, isn't it? I mean, it's a mitzvah. So hello, mushbava omeru. I mean, isn't he mushbava omeru mahar sinai? Didn't we just say that if something is not a dvarashos, it's not chal? And the halacha is that a shvuah that is already kayam, it's not chal on another shvuah. So how could he say neder? I mean, this sounds like it's a serious neder. Not that he's saying just that it's okay for an adam kosher to be mezaris himself. How could this be? Ein shvuah chal al shvuah. What are you going to tell me? It's the same thing you're going to say? The Maika Mashman, dafila ziruzi bi'alma, that it's okay for a person to be mezaris himself in this fashion, and it's sort of as if he made a neder gadol, but not really. I mean, then that's what you said before. What's the point of making two different statements? You said a person could say, Nishboim l'kayem et ha-mitzvah. So then, ta'ane akamaita, isn't that the same thing? No. Indeed, there is a tremendous chiddush over here that this is an actual shvuah. Hakamashman, kiven diboy pota nafshe b'kriyat shema shacharit ve'arvit. Since, in point of fact, for the din that a person has to learn every single day, for that, you can potter yourself, basically, with saying Kriyat Shema in the morning and saying Kriyat Shema in the evening. Even though it's true, asks the Ran, that it does say Vishinantam, and from Vishinantam we learn out that Shiyu Divrei Torah Mechudadim Bepicha, which means you have to know everything. And in order to do that, you have to actually be involved in learning constantly, because otherwise you're certainly going to end up forgetting this or that. And so Kriyat Shema obviously is not going to help you do that. The Ran builds Yisod on this, and he brings from here a proof, which is something that he mentions a number of times in this Masechta, that things that are learnt out of a drasha, even though they have a sense of chiyuv midoraita, but since it's not said beferish in the posik, this is not considered to be mushba v'omed mehar Sinai in the sense that it prevents another shvuah being chal on it. Because indeed, what it says in the Torah itself, b'shoch b'chov kumecha, I can be yotzi with kriyat shema. So dvorim, these dvorim ha'ele, are indeed called a Torah kula, but I could be yotzi with kriyat shema, arvit v'shacharit. So that actually a shvuah would be chal in this case, and indeed you would even be a chai of a korban for it, and so on. And this, he built many other rayas besides this one. Furthermore, Amr of Gidol Amarav, ha'omer lecha v'ro, nashkim v'nishaneh, perek zeh, somebody sends to a friend, let's get up and learn this perek. That person who made that statement, alav lashkim, even though he didn't say it b'loshim neder, he is mechuyev to get up in the morning, no matter what the other guy does. Because we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has exactly this response. Because it says, Vayomer Elai, Kum Tse El Habika. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this Malach tells Yecheskel, in the Shema of Hashem, go out to the valley, Meshama Daber Otach, and I'm going to speak with you there. And so Yecheskel reports, Vakum. So I get up early, Vayitze El Habika, Vinei Shem Kvod Hashem Omed. And I find HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting and waiting for me. So you see from there that he, because the person, in this case the Malach, had taken the responsibility, so to speak, and he was the one that initiated this, that we should do it, but I'm initiating it. So that means that he's the one that is supposed to indeed take the initiative, and he should be out there first, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was. So you see from here, first of all, that just saying something like this, being as it's referring to a Dvar Mitzvah, is sufficient to be Mechayev you, even though you didn't say a lashon of a neder or a shvuah, and nonetheless it's enough to be mechayev. You're just with the Kabbalah. We find the same thing is true about tzedakah. When a person commits himself just by saying, I want to do this, give this to tzedakah, even though I don't use a lashon of a neder. That is true, says the Ran, about every Dvar Mitzvah, and therefore the Gemara is telling us over here that without lashon of shvuah or neder, it's still nonetheless a commitment. And furthermore, it teaches us that the one who took the initiative is the one who's got to get there first, exactly as it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did over here. Omer of Yosef, Niduhu b'chalom tzarich asara b'nei adam lahatir lo. If somebody was put into Nidui in a dream, so it's possible that dream actually reflects the Beit Din Shalmala, and it was a way of giving over to him that in the Shemaim he was nitnadeh. The only way to take off that nidui, if it was done by the Shechina, is to get 10 people together, because the Shechina is with 10 people. So Shechina imayim. So that way, if you get these 10 people to agree that we remove the nidui, so then he can be certain that he's no longer with nidui. But this is not just any 10 people. It's got to be 10 people that are choshev enough, v'hu detanu hilchata. So one Gersa has it like this. So you need Tzarech HaSar B'nei Adam La'atiro, but V'hu D'matnu Hilchata. This is only if these are people that had taught others. So they're Anoshim Chashuvim, therefore the Shechita will be with them. Avotanu, if they had only learned themselves, then not. Now the other Gersa, which we have, is V'hu D'tanu Hilchata. These are people that have learned halacha, meaning they've been able to go through a sugya in the Gemara, come out with halacha. Avomatnu, if they've only learned matnitin, then lo. Two completely different approaches. What do you do if you can't find them? So, ileka, if you can't find, ileka, can't find people that toni ilchata, filu matnu velotonu, would be enough to just have learned Mishnah. Vileka, how about if you can't even find that? Leizav leitev a parashat rachim. What you should do is go to an intersection. V'yayiv shlama leve'asara. Adnik leve'asara degamri yochata. What you should do is you should simply be sitting there and talking to people and give, say shalom aleichem, and be involved with people. And those people's presence will prevent bad things from happening to you because you're making yourself connected to people in general until you're able to gather around the people that can actually be matir your entire need. Omale Ravina Ravashi, how about Yoda Manshante, Maudalishale? How about if you see in your dream the vision of the person that put you into Chirim? So normally when somebody puts you into Chirim, we say that that same person can take you off of the Nidui. Could you go to that person and say, look, I had a dream in which you put me into Nidui. I'd like you to take me out of Nidui. Or do I still have to go through this whole hassle of getting these 10 people? Omar Leisa said, look, what was that supposed to be? Maybe they were using him as the messenger to put you into Nidui. But this guy doesn't know anything about it. So as far as he's concerned, he's not living in your dream. He wasn't given a shlichut to be matir you. So how can he be matir you? How about if they put him into Nidui, and in the same dream, they take him out of Nidui? So how about then? Does he still have to hassle to get out of it? Or is basically it's just making it clear to him that, boy, he came close. He better start changing. Omalei, look, they say, Kishem she'iev shar lebar below teva. In the same way that you're always going to have, when you've got your grain, always going to have some chaff that's there, and there's some lower class material that's animal feed. Kach iev shar lechalom below devarim b'tevelim. The same way the hay gets mixed in, basically, to the actual grain, you're going to also always have a little bit of Dvarim B'Talim in the middle of a dream. So how do you know that even if this dream is real, and even if it's really true that you were put into Nidui, how do you know that the part about their taking you out of Nidui wasn't just wishful thinking? Maybe you're still in Nidui. Therefore, you're still going to have to go through the whole hassle of getting the 10 people together to be matir you. Now, the other question over here is, it's all very nice in terms of being matir and Nidui. But, I mean, are we saying that you actually are in Nidui? We're saying you need a heter. Does that mean that you actually require a hanhaga of Nidui or not? That's not at all clear from here. It doesn't say here you have to act as if you're in Nidui. It just says you should get the Nidui removed. Now, the Ran brings here a halacha that even though you do need to go through the hassle of removing a nidui if it was given to you in a dream, but if you see in a dream that you made a neder in the dream, that's a completely different issue. I don't see from here that you should need a heter. Because the point over here is your dream may be an indication of something that haven't happened to you, but you can't dream about something that you did if you didn't do it. It's irrelevant. You can't say, I made a neder in my dream, therefore I should take that neder seriously. That's absurd, says the Ran. However, he says, I saw in a tshuva of the Rajba, in an actual maaser, where somebody asked him what to do, and he said that, no, you're gonna have to actually, keep that neder, or be matir the neder. It's no different than a nidui. Now, there was once a maaser, with Ravina, Havile Nadra Ladvita, his wife had made a neder, and this was not one of the nedarim that he had a right to be matir as husband. And so he comes to Ravashi, and he asks Ravashi whether Amarle Baal Mahu Shiyase Shliach Lecharatat Ishtalut. My wife made this neder; she really wants out of this neder. I want to know whether I can present it to the court because she's very uncomfortable coming out to the Beit Din. So I want to present it to you and convey to you her charot, and then you'll tell me mutar lecha, and that'll be for her. So the Rambam learns that this is definitely a ridiculous question if it would come to somebody else. The whole point of Atarat Nedarim is that you are there and they're matir your neder to your face. How can you possibly have somebody else present your neder and then get the heter to your neder? All right, and in fact, as the Ran shows, that this is something that makes sense only because of the husband. So since a husband, we say that ishto kegufo, so then his standing there is as if his wife is standing there. The Ran brings an interesting proof to this from a question in the Yerushalmi about whether you can use an interpreter. Somebody who can't speak the language of the Beit Din, can he use an interpreter? So, and that's talking about even where he's there. Right? So can you use a maturgamon? And, over there, certainly that's a lot better than using a shliach, where bechlal, the person isn't even present. So it seems pretty clear from that Yerushalmi that through a shliach you for sure cannot be mati. Okay, this is how the Rambam understands the question. The truth is there are those who understand it the opposite, that in fact the other people for sure would be able to be a shliach. The problem is that we're worried about a Baal, that since he may have a lot of personal involvement in it, maybe a type of neder which, although he doesn't have a right to be mefer for his wife, nonetheless it's something that's going to end up being very difficult for him to live with, and therefore he may present some additional information his wife never told him about the charata, and therefore we don't perhaps trust him. And that was the question: can we have that kind of situation where somebody may be misrepresenting what the wife is saying because they want desperately for her to have charat, even though maybe she didn't have that same level of charat? Omale, so he said to him, well, it depends. Im echan fin in, ilo lo. Basically, the halacha on this is that if the bezdin is sitting there and they're being matir, so then that's fine. But if not, you cannot go out now to create a Beit Din in order to do it. So if it's the problem of Tosfos, so there we're afraid that if he's already gone through two steps, he's worried about the neder. So he has one level of negiyus. So now he's got to go to the whole tircha to get everybody together in order to make the neder be mutter. He's really, really going to present this in ways that are meant to work for him. It's all in the presentation. If I've already gone to this much trouble to get the bezin together, I'm not going to do this again. So let's make it work. So therefore, we're going to be more choshish that it's really misrepresented. Whereas, according to the Rambam, since lamaisa, this is a very special case of dispensation, in which only the Baal is allowed to do this. So they were making a case that if there's already, since Ishto Kegufo, if there's already a Beit Din, okay. But they limited this particular case, not to make a big deal out of it, only to places where the Beit Din was already being Yoshev. But if you're going to go start going around and collecting people, they never gave you the Rishus to be a Shliach. That's how the Rambam was. Now, it's very interesting, there's a third shita. The third shita is Rabbi Eliezer Mitzvah shita. And his shita is that actually a Baal can make a neder, and he does not need to have three people already in a Beit Din. He's allowed to gather three people together, that's for sure. The only case that the Gemara was talking about over here, about saying that it needs to be Anashim Mechunasim, is talking about where the woman did not ask him to be matir the neder. He asked, basically, the woman, he'd like to be matir the neder, is that okay? And so, basically, Chazal, according to him, understand that the woman doesn't mind being matir the neder as long as it isn't going to cause her any bushot. But if he's going to start going around and people are going to hear about it, then she doesn't want him to be matir the neder for her. Because of that, he doesn't have her shus to collect the mechunasim. So it's a completely different shot. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't even bring Rabbi Eliezer Mimitzi's dad, because basically he's keneged, he's a yochid that's keneged both the Rambam and the Tosfot. Because both Rambam and Tosfot agree that a Baal can be made for only in front of Shlosha Anashim who are already mechunasim. Now, what's very interesting is that there was a question in the last century that was asked to Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank. Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank came to him with a shaila about a woman who had been mafrish chala, and after that, the challah got mixed up in back into the original dough, which really creates a problem because then you can't eat the whole dough. So what she wanted to do was to go ahead. The husband came up with the idea, let her be sho'elet on afrashat challah. And the same way, can be mevatel on that, or you can be mevatel afrashat. Okay, so the problem is that the husband comes to ask Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, is he allowed to do this for her? She didn't want to go. Is he allowed to do this for her only if there's shlosha anashim mechunasim? Because l'chor, it's exactly like the neder question. Or would he be allowed even to collect the people in order to be matir? Because how's he going to find people that are sitting down to be matir? Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank told him an amazing psak. It's so ingenious to see the level of psak here. So he said like this. He said, look, it's true that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even bring the Das of Rabbi Eliezer Meimetz, right? Because it's a Yachid Keneged Ramen. However, what is the reason, according to Tosafos, that we don't allow you to be Matir Neder? Because we're afraid that if you go ahead and collect the people, you go to so much Tircha, you may really misrepresent. Okay, so then the question is, says Rabbi Shifachet Pesach Frank, why isn't it true by everybody? Why isn't everybody going to misrepresent his own neder in cases where he goes to a lot of tircha to get rid of the neder, right? So he answers, must mean that the pshat is like this, that we generally assume that a person is going to be very careful about his own neder because he doesn't want to make any mistakes. In other words, he's certainly mocked, but that he shouldn't be over. But he doesn't care so much about his wife being over. So he's making on his mind, oh, it's probably okay. So over there, he may misrepresent it, and he won't worry about the fact that maybe it's not a kosher HaTorah. But since in this case, he's the guy that's going to be eating the dough. So he's very worried that the she'ela should be a good she'ela, because otherwise it turns out he's eating an Isser Misa, but he's eating truma, basically. Chal is the same thing as truma. So he's going to be very careful not to misrepresent it. In which case, the Tosis in this case would not hold that there's a problem of gathering together people specifically for the issue. Elamai, what's the problem? The problem is that you have the Rambam who argues, who says that in general we limit the right of a Baal since it's a special dispensation. But if that's the case, you have two shittas against one, because then we would put Rebbe Eliezer and Mitzvah holds you're always allowed to gather three, together with the Shittata Tosafot, in this case, that in this case you're allowed to gather three, and therefore it turns out, he said to him, it's okay, you can go and gather together three people, and be matir the neder. Brilliant, huh? So we learn from here, basically, then three things. Shmamina tlat. First of all, Shmamina, we see from here, balna seshliyef acharatat ishto, that it is possible for a husband to be now an agent for his wife, that she should be able to tell over now the beit din of the charata that his wife had. It's also clear from here that it is not correct, or the Ranz Girsalo Yale, it's not proper, same idea, to be matir neder in a place where your own Rebbe is. The reason for this is that otherwise Ravina obviously would have been matir the neder himself. What did he have to go over here and ask the question? Since it's clear that he held that he wasn't correct, he wouldn't be appropriate for him to do it. Even though Lemaisa, the Mishnah says that a Baal does not have a right to be matir his own wives, the Dorim, but that's only to be matred as a Yochid Mumcha. I mean, over here he's being matred together with a whole days then. So we're not Cheshish. I mean, if it's by himself, so we're afraid that he's Nagea and he may be a little bit more heter. But if he's doing it together with the Beit Din, so then we don't have such a chashur. He could have done it together with the Beit Din. But the thing is that since Ravashi was there, and Ravina was Mechabid Ravashi, so he could have just brought people into his own proper Bezdin, which he was a member, or he might have, some say that you are completely us, or even to be part of a Beit Din, because Ishto Kegufa. But then the meaning would be over here, that if it wouldn't have been for Rav Ashi, so he would have asked the three Talmidim to go ahead and do it, says the Ran. I mean, what does he have to go and make this big fuss? But Lamaisa, he wanted to utilize Rav Ashi to tell him what to do, and it should be together with Rav Ashi's Heter, and so on. So that's why he raised the whole issue. So it's clear, we learned this just from the between the lines of the story. Mishmamino, we also learn from here, that when you're going to be using not a Yachid Mumcha, but a Beis Din, so that Mikimechan Finan Shaper Dami, it's only where they were already together, so then you can act as a Shliach. But if you need to put them together, then you do not have a right to put them together. Okay, obviously the placement's a little strange, and indeed the Rosh's Girsa is that this piece is right after the other piece. That's Mechanfen comes first, of course. Now, there's also another halacha, which is Veshamtav. Somebody was mamish put into Nidui, so he's excommunicated. So then Afilu Ba'atoi, the Rabbi, in such a case, if the Rebbe, maybe the Rebbe's not around. So if he's not around, but the person's supposed to be in a matzav of Shamta, which is a horrible thing. So where there's neder, so you wait. But if it's a Shamta, it's very important to get out of Shamta, as we saw before. We need to be Megan on him and so on. There's no problem. It's not considered to be a pagam b'chol, because it's an emergency. It's like saving somebody's life. Furthermore, there's another halacha, that a yachid mumcha can not only be matir a neder, but a yachid mumcha can also be shari Shamta. He can be matir a cherem as well, but obviously only where it's proper. In other words, let's say he did tshuva for the thing that he had been put into cherem for. So then anybody can go ahead and be matir. It's also true that you can have a bezdin that can be matir. The Ran actually brings up the idea that maybe somebody's only a mumcha, yachid mumcha, if he has smicha, but he brings a raya. Clearly that's not true. That anybody who is a mumcha in the sense of being a boki gadol, and because even in the times that the Gemara uses Yachid Mumcha, there was nobody that had smicha anymore. Lamaisa, many Rishonim say that after the Chatimat HaTalmud, so nowadays there's nobody that's considered to be a Yachid Mumcha, no matter how much of a Baki he is. It requires too many other inyonim. Now, since already we just got finished learning his importance of the chumrah of avoiding now the Shem Hashem, and that's why we make this all, we're very, very careful not to get into a matzav in which somebody would say a Shem Hashem levatol, and we talked about the din that you're mechuyev to be menadehem, and that you yourself should be in need of not menadehem. So because of this, we're bringing now the concept of yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem in the sense of literally fearing the use of the Shem Hashem. So Omer Reb Shimon Bar Zvid, Omer Reb Yisrael Bar Tavla, Omer Reb Chia Aricha, Devei Rav Acha, Reb Chia Aricha, who said this in the Beis HaMedrash, now in the Yeshiva of Rav Acha, quoting now Rabbi Zera, who was quoting Rabbi Elazar, who was quoting Rabbi Chanina, who was quoting Rabbi Measha, who was quoting Rabbi Yehuda Bar Biloy, My Dichtiv is Archalachem Yir E Shemi. What does it say when it says that to those of you who have Yirat Hashem, meaning who don't use my shame, Levatola, Shemesh Tzedakah Marpeh V'Chnafeah, as a sun that shines with righteousness and that carries healing in its rays? So who are the ones that are Yirei Shemi, Elo B'nei Adam Shem Yireim, Lo Tzishem Shemayim Levatola? That they are literally Yireim Shemi. And then the meaning of Shemesh Tzedakah Marpeh, that the sun itself heals, the rays of the sun heals. Omer Abaye Shmami, now you see from here, that Chir Gadiyumi Maseh, Chir Gadiyumi is like the rays of the sun that we could see coming into a window, which is now, comes off of the dust particles in the air. So that means those, that sense of a ray is considered to have powers of curing. But this, who understands the meaning of the pasuk to be literal, that the actual physical sun has healing rays, is pligid of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. It's obviously not like Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Who pligid of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish? Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish has a completely different understanding of this pasuk. According to him, it's all basically a spiritual issue. It has nothing to do with Olam Hazeh at all. And he says, "The Amar Ein Gehinom L'Olam Haba, El Hakadosh Baruch Hu Motzi Chama Min Artika." There is no hell in Olam Haba. It's just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the same powerful emanations of energy, and it's as if the sun was removed from its sheath. For tzaddikim, this is their joy, and they're mitrapimba. And for rishayim, they feel as if they're burning up, and they're nidunimba. Shemar v'zor chalachem yirei shemi. It's to you who are yirei shemi that it will be a shemar tzedaka omar pebech nafeh. But to those who are not, it's going to be hell. V'lo od ela shemit adninba. Shemar v'yatzetem. You will go out there ufishtem kegleim marpeh. You're going to be like fattened calves. It's going to be such a wonderful experience to be in that spiritual light. Where as the Rishaim, in that very same light, are nidonimba. That becomes for them the greatest pain. Shenemar ki inei ayom babo erketanur, vayu kol zedim v'kol osei risha, kash v'lieto tam ayom haba. That yom haba itself will be that which burns them up. So it doesn't need to be a special place for Rishaim. It's the very exposure to the grandeur of the Gilui Hashchina that is itself the most painful thing for them to sense the lost opportunities of what could have been theirs. There is no greater hell. So according to Reish Lakish, that means that it has no implications for Olam Hazeh at all to say that necessarily the physical rays of the sun, I mean, it's a metaphor. So to say that the physical rays of the sun are good for you doesn't follow at all from this. They may be terrible for you.